call of the board. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes, present.
Mr. Corson?
Yes. David, are you recording?
I am, thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer's here. Mr. Hill?
Here.
Thank you. And for our staff, Marjorie Stratton?
I'm here.
And Christine Alphon?
I'm here.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for all the attendees. A quick explanation of why I'm with Donna at the historical. I've got lack of technology at my house, meaning I don't have a laptop and a computer that will do video. So welcome, everybody. I would like to acknowledge the fact that Bo has been reelected back onto the board and congratulate him and welcome him back.
Thank you.
Welcome.
With that, I'm going to go to item number 4, election of a chairman and a vice chairman. Do I have a nomination from anyone? Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I nominate Donna Damon to be chair.
Okay. Do I have a second for that nomination?
You can second.
Anybody want to second that nomination? I'll go ahead and second it. Do we have any other nominations for chairman of the board, please?
I nominate Jay.
Jay Corson. We have a second to that.
Okay.
Do I hear a second? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go back to the nomination of Donna Damon for chairman. I'm going to do a roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre? Answer yes or no, please.
No.
Thank you, Ms. Damon.
Yes, I forgot.
I'm sorry. Mr. Corson, excuse me.
No.
Thank you, Ms. Damon.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Donna, at this point, would you like to take over running the meeting, or would you rather have...
Why don't you just keep going, because you're prepared.
Okay. Now we need to elect a new vice chairman. Do I have any nominations for vice chairman, please? David?
I nominate Mark Dyer.
Okay. Is there a second to that nomination?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any other nominations for vice chairman for the Board of Selectmen, please? Okay. Hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote, please, on nomination of myself for vice chairman. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Dane.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Passes. Thank you. Next item up is public comment for any items that are not on the agenda tonight. David, I would ask you to assist me with whoever is raising their hand, if anyone. If anyone out in the audience has a comment or a question for the board that is not on the agenda tonight, please go ahead.
I see no hand.
Anybody, Dave?
Nope.
No hand. Thank you, David. Item number 6 is town reports. Marjorie, would you mind giving us what you have for your town administrator report, please?
Sure.
I have reconciled the June bank statement, but I haven't had a chance to prepare a budget report. But as I said, I think it was last week, anytime you want a budget report, I can print one off pretty quickly. I just haven't had a lot of chance to put that together. We are still getting invoices in for June, so I don't have the ending figures for the end of our fiscal year yet anyway, but anytime you want that, please let me know if you have any questions about, this is the 2019-2020 budget, finalizing that budget and getting ready for audit. So everything on the budget referendum vote did pass. I just wanted to let you all confirm that. Some of you have already asked me, you know, what the results were, so you know, but everything did pass. And I did have, I know that Herb wrote you all a letter listing out the things that he had that still need to be addressed or things that he had on his list. But there were also a few items that I can write up at some point if you want. Some things are on this agenda already, but I don't know if we need to still deal with the offer of the sale of that property from Brenda LaPointe. That was one thing. I think Herb had the solid waste facility ordinance on his list. And then I don't know where we stand. I know that the hall set aside their issue of buying a big audio system, but I didn't know if that was still on the selectmen's radar, but I have that on my pending items. And then the state has asked us to update our floodplain management ordinance. So that's on my list. And also, I was asked probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now to compile some information about the fire department and the washing machine and the gray water system that was created. And I have done that. So when you want to put, let me know if you want that as an agenda item. The COVID-19 stuff, the grant is already on the agenda, so I guess I don't need to say anything about that. We have ordered more signs about masking, maybe a little bit more of a humorous sign to, you know, put some humor into it. And we've put up the signs that were approved by the board. Do you have any questions about anything?
I have one or two, Marjorie. Are you planning to talk about that list from Herb Main during correspondence or anything later in this meeting?
We talked earlier and decided that it would be under correspondence. Is that?
Yeah, that sounds good. The other question I have is, What is the status of the request for talking about a temporary ramp down at Indian Point for public access onto the Little Chibig Bar side?
I was going to bring that up under other business, but I can talk about it now if you want to.
No, it's fine with other business unless the board wants to talk about it now. Does anybody feel strongly either way? Okay.
I might ask if anybody among the attendees in the audience might raise their hand if that's something they'd like to hear about, talk about. Okay, Mary Holt has her hand raised.
Okay. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. Was this Donna?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Donna Colbeth. Donna, you should be able to.
Try to unmute yourself, Donna.
I just did. I'm very interested in hearing about it, and being one who visits there, it would be extremely helpful.
Okay. I'm fine talking about it now unless the board objects.
No objections.
Go right ahead, Marjorie, if you have any information that we...
So we had been talking about having some engineering work down there, and I've had conversations between the land trust and the Indian Point Company and the town. Within those conversations, we talked about putting in an aluminum ramp to add to the, to help people get from the path down to the beach. What's happening right now is that there's quite a big step because of erosion. So there's not a huge cost to this. Where I talked with Bob Halpin, he's the president of Indian Point Company, a couple of days ago. He's estimating about $800. And if we split the cost, it would be $400. So this would be an aluminum ramp that would be weighted down with some railings, and it would be removable. We'd take it out in the wintertime. It wouldn't stay there for the winter. So my thought was that the board could possibly vote to take it out of our coastal access reserve. I thought I had written down, I think we have 9 or 10,000 in that reserve, so there's plenty in there, and it would be a good use of those funds. Because obviously it's to assist our residents with access to the shore.
Okay, go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I agree with Marjorie. I think we know that that's why we put money in there. And there are several other places where we had thought about steps and we haven't done it. And I would suggest as goodwill that we pay for the whole thing, because the fact that it is public access to 100 feet of beautiful shore where people go swimming, for clam diggers, and for people going to Little Chevig. And I just think that it would be a really good thing. So I would be willing to move that we allocate $800 out of the coastal access fund for that to put a ramp in at Little Chevig, at the Indian Island. And just one question, I don't know if this is a second.
Yeah, thank you, Donna. Do I have a second to that motion, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, discussion?
Yeah, so there will be railings on it, right? So that people will be able to. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Further discussion, go ahead, Jay. I think you're muted, Jay.
Sorry about that. If the Indian Island folks are perfectly happy splitting the bill with this, their proposal, I think we ought to just accept it and say, thank you very much. Good to go. We'll get it taken care of.
Thank you, Jay. Any other comment from anyone on the board, please?
No, I agree.
Any comment from the public, David? Can you please help me?
Was there a second? I'm sorry, was there a second?
That was my second.
All set, Marjorie? Yeah. David, any questions from the audience that you can see?
Nobody.
Okay, any more comment on this before I take a roll call, please? Thank you. Yes or no, Mr. Beaupre, please.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
No.
Ms. Damon.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Thank you. Passes 4-1. Anything else, Marjorie? I'm sorry, Donna, did you have something?
I had something about COVID-19.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt before Marjorie.
Marjorie, says. Did you have anything else before Donna asked something about COVID? Did you have?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Donna.
Yes, I just wanted to give an update on the testing group, which is now comprised of Kip Webb, Jim Cox Chapman, Jenny Hackle, Jackie Trask, Nancy Hill, and Ann Bowman. And I think it's just a miracle that they were already up and running, had all the supplies that they needed just in the nick of time and had to test more than a dozen Islanders who had been exposed to COVID by a positive individual. And I just think that that is such good news. And the other good news is that they have developed a relationship with CDC, and they've been approved to have the test from Chevig sent directly to the lab in Augusta. And the turnaround will be much quicker, as much as 24 to 48 hours, which will be much, much improved. And so I would like to make a motion. I would like to move that the town recognize the contribution that these individuals have made, and that we pass a resolution thanking them.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
David, was that a second?
Well, I think Bo beat me to it. I would certainly second that because I was also planning on making the same motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. So
no, quite all right.
Bo was the second, I believe, Marjorie.
I have Bo as the second.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Any comment or questions about the motion, please, from the board? Any questions or comments from the public, David, if you don't mind, from anyone out in the audience?
I see no hands.
Thank you. Do we all understand the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call vote, Mr. Beaupre.
Yes.
Mr. Corson.
Abstain.
Thank you. Ms. Damon.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Thank you. Passes 4-1 abstention. Marjorie, you're all set with all of your reporting before I leave this item?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll go to the regular business section. Item 21-063, annual municipal appointments. First one is a selectman to represent the town with the Maine Island Coalition. Do we have a motion for an individual for selectman for that representation?
Well, I'll volunteer if nobody else wants to do it.
Okay.
I nominate Donna.
Thank you, David. Do I have a second to that nomination? Okay. Thank you, Bo. Any other nominations or questions from the board? I assume nothing from the public on this one, David.
That's correct.
Thank you. I will do a roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes unanimous. Next item is to nominate two selectmen to represent the town of Chevig with the Yarmouth Joint Standing Committee. Do I hear nominations for two selectmen for the Joint Standing Committee from? Go ahead, David.
I nominate Mark Dyer and Donna Damon.
Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Donna. Let's see, do I have any other nominations from anyone for the Joint Standing Committee, please? Hearing none. Nothing from the audience, I would assume, on this item either.
That's correct.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes unanimous. Next business item is item 21-064, Community Advisory Response Team, to hear a report from the Community Advisory Response Team. Please.
I'm just going to mention a couple of things, and David may want to chime in, and then somebody from who might be on the call. CART continues to coordinate with the town, nonprofits, and businesses regarding signage and other communication. The interaction and support from the various organizations and the town have been giving each other is inspiring. It has been a great example of I don't know what you call it when you have nonprofits, businesses, and towns together, collusion maybe. But anyway, people have been working really well together and actually accomplishing a lot. And it's been very inspiring to see that people can work together and get something done. So if there's anybody from CAD who'd like to weigh in, David's one of the co-chairs, if he wants to start, and maybe somebody else.
Well, I would just like to underline what Donna said. I don't know how many meetings the CART group has had over the past couple of months. I think it must be close to a dozen, feels like a dozen anyway. I'd say the core group is about 20 people, individuals on this island who are working and donating their time and effort and energy to keep us safe. And I think it's a great testament to our community, and I express our appreciation to them all.
So I don't know if there's anybody on there on the
Mary would like to say something, I think. I'm gonna allow her to talk. Okay. You may speak, Mary.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I just want to say I feel blessed to be in a community that has worked so hard to stop the spread. Especially as we hear every day more and more cases developing in other states where there really hasn't been a plan and where people are not encouraged to take it seriously. Marjorie's done a wonderful job at the office. I know she answers questions when people call, and I feel safe and just cannot believe how fortunate we are. And I thank the team for working so well together and for the opportunity to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone else out there, David, looking to speak that you can identify?
No, Lila would like to say something. By the way, we've got about 13 attendees tonight. So it's a pretty good group. So I'm gonna allow Lila to speak up. Yeah, you should be able to speak now.
There I am. I would like to add my kudos and broaden them way beyond the CART team to really all of our frontline people on Chibig. The resolution thanking the testing team that not only tested and reassured people was not possible without the kind of general understanding that is developed across our whole community, the frontline workers, as well as families, about how important it is to protect each other. And kudos to all of Chibig for the way we are working together. We're lucky to be in the state of Maine, and we are especially lucky to be right here on the island, and let's keep it safe this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Lila. Anyone else that you can see, David?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Did you have anything else, Donna?
No, I was just...
Any questions from anyone on the report from Donna about the CART team, please? Thank you. Thank you, Donna. We're going to go to the next item, item 21-065, the Keep Maine Healthy Grant, to consider and take action on the positions described in the Keep Maine Healthy Grant. And then the second item is to take any other action related to Keep Maine Healthy Grant. In your packets, I believe you have a recommendation of positions that will be advertised. These will be advertised positions, correct?
Right.
Is that the?
That's the idea.
Yeah, is that the idea? You have a. Did we want to put this document up, or how did we want to handle this for the?
For the public. It was in the packet.
Okay.
The descriptions were in the packet, with the exception of we've changed the. Originally, we were going to do an RFP for the communications position, but after several of us discussed it, it seemed as if that could be a salaried position and it would be just one less layer of bureaucracy of what we had to do. I sent that out to people I was late getting home because it was a rescue, but I sent that out before the meeting. Marjorie's got her hand up.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Marjorie.
The COVID communication officer has the pay range of 400 a week. I looked quickly, after I got this. I think that a salaried employee has to be paid over 455 a week, and there are certain rules with salaried employees. So I just want to be sure that you're aware of those, and I'll get more details for you probably tomorrow or Monday.
Okay, that would be good. And then we can figure out how to make that work.
I can put the document up on the screen. Just bear with me a little bit longer.
Yeah. But Bo, you have a question. Go right ahead.
I mean, I do apologize. I'm behind the eight ball on this. I saw this and read this application request, and to me seems a little excessive for a few months.
I think I can answer that, Bo. We've been having this same work done by volunteers, and the volunteers are getting burnt out. So this work or more has already been happening on a regular basis. And so we were able to get this grant to help us alleviate some of the, to help the volunteers who have been working so hard in the community. And the in the packet were the other job descriptions for the other positions, and it's a similar kind of thing. We want to get the playground open, for example. So one of the jobs is with the COVID ambassador would be to somebody who would be up there most of the day to wipe off the slide and, keep the kids from getting too close to each other and that kind of thing. But that the communicator, that we've been doing that right along.
I've seen a couple people like the sheriff and Gennaro down at Bennett's when the boat came in. I haven't seen anybody at the Island Market. Like it says, the state's on there, the CRC, the Slow Bell, the food pantry.
I thought you were talking about the communication. These other ones are new positions that we want to be able to alleviate and support. The policeman, for example, will be gone the end of end of August. You haven't seen anybody because we haven't funded it yet. We're still waiting for the money.
Well, you just stated that there was volunteers that was doing
I thought you were talking about the communication. There's three different positions. There's the communications, there's the administrator for the who's overseeing who's working with the town to keep track of the bills when we start ordering things. In this grant that we wrote, there's all kinds of there's various we went around to different nonprofits and businesses and that kind of thing, and had requests. For example, the rec center needed certain amounts of sanitizing stations and that kind of stuff. So it's all worked into the grant. So one of those jobs is going to be ordering the stuff, keeping track of the invoices and all that kind of that. So that's one job. The other is the communicator is the person who helps Marjorie with the updates, with writing the whatever you call it, you know, the letters that go out to the community. And that, so that's another one. And then the people kind of on the other jobs would be somebody who is going around and supporting Gail, for example, at the dump. Gail has asked for help because people are coming up there without masks on, and she just needs an extra person. So that's kind of hard to explain it all on the fly here.
I kind of understand what you're saying, but as a small community, you know, during the winter, you know, we're looking at a couple months now, and then.
Oh, this is over October 30th. This is funding is only until October 30th.
Okay.
It's part of the governor's plan to open up Maine for tourism. And so it's covering from June 8th until October 30th. And then these positions go away. I mean, volunteers may still pick them up, but there's no funding after the 30th of October.
I understand they have money to order supplies and equipment for masks and stuff like that, but to hire actual people to go around to basically check on this stuff, I don't know. I don't see the need. I'm pretty sure Marjorie can order, if she sees that she needs masks at the town office, to put it on the list, or you know, have, you know, not really volunteer, but as part of your job to maintain, you know.
Also, Bo, we're going to be in transition with Marjorie's going to be leaving, and we have somebody new coming in, mm-hmm. and this would help that person who's coming in, so that they would. It would be another person to be doing some of that while the other person's trying to get up to speed.
Any other questions from board members, please? Jay, go ahead.
You're muted, Jay.
I think you might be muted, Jay.
Sorry about that. Okay. A couple of quick questions, a couple of questions. One, we applied for the grant. We got the grant. And I gather that subsequently we've been asked for a whole lot more detail and the ability to fill out federal forms basically a whole new application. And has that anything happened on that? Is my first question of several.
Well, yes. I can answer that. I submitted that this afternoon.
Okay.
And then frankly, it was a rehash of our application for the program to begin with, put into the format that the state uses, CDC, DHHS. Thank you, Donna. It's going into their form for their reimbursement program.
Okay, I have to agree wholeheartedly with Bo. I think that this is hiring people. I read the proposal. I mean, we got it after it was handed in. I read it, and the way you calculated most of the costs and things no employer would ever calculate things that way. You left out so much. It seems to me that by the time we advertise these jobs and have a couple of interviews, if that's what's going to happen, and actually try and hire somebody. We're talking about the middle of August at the earliest. And the grant runs through October, what, 15th or something?
31st,
okay. So essentially, the money that was allocated was based on a June 8th to October 31st. We're already going to be halfway through the time frame, so that I would assume, maybe I'm wrong, that all of those salaries and everything else would get adjusted downwards to meet the time frame that people would be employed for. You know, it just, this is so unnecessary. I mean, we're handling the situation very well now. When you go down to Chandler's to pick anything up, between Gennaro and our police officer, they're doing a great job. Everything is well managed, well organized. CTC's boarding policy, you ready for this? Something they're doing right in my mind. They got it so organized so you can't get on and off the boat without a reasonable process that eliminates most of the issues that you're worried about. So I really, you know, where people might possibly congregate, you know, it's not like we have big public beaches or anything that people are, you know, suddenly massing on. It's just, this is so unnecessary, and relative to the aggravation of accounting for the cost and the money on a to the federal government via the state of Maine, which is where the accounting actually ends up, is the federal government. You know, it just seems to me that we are spending a whole lot of time and energy and effort on something that is not going to be anywhere near the benefit relative to the cost to our staff and our community.
Thank you, Jay. Go ahead, David.
First, I want to mention that Ralph has his hand up, so you can keep that in mind in the discussion. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I would much rather be criticized for doing too much than for doing too little. And so far, so good. That may turn around in a heartbeat. It almost did last week. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any other comment from the board before I open it up to the public? Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I would like to move that we allow the town to advertise for the positions outlined in the grant pending funding. And so that would say, the advertisement would say pending funding, which is very common. And that way we would be able to start this. If we had done this July 1st, the first time we asked to do this, we would have probably already had some applications. Unfortunately, it wasn't supported.
Thank you, Donna. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you, David. Discussion on the motion, please.
I think we've already pretty much discussed it. But
we do have Ralph in the audience.
Go right ahead, Marjorie.
So is this, the motion is to advertise five positions? I just want to be clear what the motion is.
To advertise the three COVID ambassadors, the COVID communicator, and the COVID administrator.
The five, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Marjorie. Nothing else from the board. David, is there people in the public?
Yeah, Ralph would like to say something.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I was just made aware of this grant day before yesterday. I don't know that we can get any money for it from it, the Schmidt Rescue and Fire Department. I'm disappointed that if we can or could have, that I wasn't made aware of it. But a lot of this discussion, I heard Donna say that volunteers are getting burned out. So I don't think that you've been thinking about the EMTs that are getting burned out. You're talking about frontline workers, but not once have I ever heard anybody say anything about the EMS, which really bothers me at this point. decon room for the Chibig Rescue Department, and I've really got nothing, no help so far. It's a really big issue, I think, and we need something, we need some help, and this whole conversation is really, really, really bothersome. Can you give me any insight there?
Yes, I can, Ralph. The first call that I made when we were developing the budget on how much we, you know, how much materials we needed was to Steve Ofont to find out how much the rescue needed and the rescue and fire department. And he gave us a number, and that is in the grant. And that was the very first call that I made. I did double duty. I talked to him for the fire department and also for the rec center.
In the future, if you could just call me directly, because I am the head of the Chibig Fire and Rescue, that would be a huge help. Steve's a really great guy, and he's doing a great job. I'm not sure that he's aware of all the things. I give him a great job. Hold on. I give him a lot to do, and he does a great job. But I am the head of the department, and I should be treated as the head of the department. Please call me in the future.
Ralph, I assume that he works for you, so I assume that he would be contacting you, and that the number that he gave me had been you had collaborated on.
Do you know anything about the need for a decon room?
Ralph, I'm just saying that I...
Donna, ask a simple question. Do you know anything about the need for a decon room?
No, I don't. I'm just trying to...
Okay, well, that's a problem. We need to fix that, because I contacted Marjorie and Herb Main about that, and if you don't know anything about it, that's a problem. We need to fix that.
You're I have never heard about it.
Thousands of dollars. You're willing to spend thousands of dollars here and paying volunteers to hand out masks more than you're paying your EMTs, and you haven't contacted me about a grant that maybe we could have got some money for a decon room. There's a breakdown of communication, and I want to improve on that.
Ralph, all I'm saying is I spoke to a person who worked for you, and I assumed that he had talked to you. I apologize. We had a very fast turnaround. We had 48 hours to put this thing together. And it was not an oversight. You're not always available because you're in Portland. And I called the office. I got the person who was working for you. I asked the question. He responded, and we put the money in the grant. And that's all I can say.
Hey, Ralph, if I may suggest something, maybe a memo from you/your department on that specific request of upgrade. I realize you've got a makeshift decon room out there made out of shrink wrap, I believe is what it is. And maybe in the future, some sort of a formal memo instead of just speaking to one or two people in the town, maybe more effective.
Well, I think in the future we need to come up with an absolute solid plan, because I was told point blank that I need to go through Herb Main. I went through Herb Main, and I talked to Marjorie, and I don't know what else I can do. If we want to put something in writing, how I talk to the Board of Selectmen, that's great, but I'm doing the best I can. But you're talking about frontline workers here, but I still haven't heard anything about the Chibig Rescue. We are the front line. There's nobody in front of us as far as I'm concerned. And we have some needs, and I don't feel that we're getting them. We're not getting the attention I feel that we need, but I may be a little biased.
Okay, thank you. Did you have something, Marjorie?
I just wanted to say, and I can't speak for her, but my recollection is that we were waiting for an estimate. We couldn't really bring it to the board for any kind of a analysis or a vote, if you will, without a firm estimate on what we would be looking for cost. So again, I can't speak for her, but that's my recollection of where we were with that proposal.
Okay. David?
Specifically in the grant, we have a line item for fire rescue. It includes masks, PPE, and hazmat suits. It adds up to $1,375. And my question is, how much, what exactly, is some kind of a clean room or something to change? I don't understand. What's it called?
It's a decontamination.
Decontamination. Do you have a rough idea, Ralph, of what a decontamination facility would cost?
It is, Dave. It is vague because I'm trying to get a estimate. It's really difficult. We have limited people that are willing to even look at the project. It's kind of a small one. It's somewhere right now. And it really is rough. But $25,000 to $30,000 for a decon room.
Yeah. Well, we're nowhere near that in our proposal. We do have some flexibility, but not that much.
Do you have anything else for us, Ralph? I'm hearing your concerns about communication and getting things through to the board. Do you have anything else in that area or any other areas?
Just one. I know I was a little late to the meeting. I had some other issues I had to deal with, and I apologize. We do have the ambulance. I've been trying to get a company to come over and do some brake work on the ambulance. We just returned from a call an hour and a half ago, and we just lost a brake line in it. Front brakes need to be replaced, and now we don't have any back brakes. So we're kind of in a crisis situation there with the ambulance right now, as we don't have a backup, and I'm currently working on that. But we do also have the possibility of buying an ambulance. I know we only have $122,000 and change in the budget for that, the capital budget. And as I see, as of yesterday, we didn't, as a town, put any money aside for the ambulance this year. But I think that's something we continue to put off the purchase of a new ambulance since we've become a town. And it's getting to a point where I think it's going to cost us a lot of money. And I think it's going to cost us downtime, which we definitely can't afford. So I would like to talk to the town administrator and the board of selectmen about options there, about maybe purchasing an ambulance here in the near future.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Marjorie.
I talked with Ralph on June 24th about this. And Ralph, I need a specific quote. You were going to work on getting a specific quote from Greenwood for that demo ambulance that they had on their floor.
Yeah, I did, and I can forward it to you. I talked to Herb Main, and he pretty much shot it down for me. But it was right in the around 180,000 in change, and I know we have 122.
Thank you.
Can we not borrow for the rest of that?
Well, that's been the ongoing issue, Bo. Since 2007, we have different board of selectmen and different administrators come in, and everybody seems to have a different idea, and we continually push it off. But the last idea was that we would just keep putting money aside and not borrow money. Before that, it was we would put some money aside and then we would borrow the rest. And it's literally changed four or five times since we've become our own town. So I honestly don't know where we're at, but I think that the importance of the ambulance being a something we have to depend on because we don't have a backup, I think we need to move forward with this sooner than later. And we do have a really good, I feel it's a really good deal on an ambulance. It's a demo model. It's not exactly what we want, but it's pretty close to what we have now. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ralph, are you done talking?
Yes.
Thank you. Bo, I'm going to let this go. We're actually having discussion about the motion on the table, but that's okay. I'm going to let you make your comment.
I just want to ask Ralph, I mean, do we currently have a working ambulance right now?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to get Ralph back on.
Sorry about that, David. I wasn't aware of his question. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, Ralph.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
So, not really. I have to get somebody there tonight. We need to figure out, because right now we really don't have any brakes in the ambulance. We blew a rear brake line, and the front brakes were the ones that needed to be replaced. So we need to figure that out tonight if we can actually even use it.
So as far as the ambulance stands for me, we have 122 or whatever it is. I mean, we need to look into another ambulance. I know the biggest issue was that we don't have the room for it to store. But I'm pretty sure we could make some kind of makeshift for right now. I'd rather get a new ambulance over here and have something than nothing, especially during this COVID stuff.
Okay. Is Ralph no longer with us, David?
I can re-enable him.
Oh, that's okay.
He's here. I'll just agree with Bo. I don't know. I've thrown a bunch of ideas out there. I've asked for help. I don't know where we stand. It's kind of in your lap. I would love to see us get a new ambulance. We depend on it. And it will be a sleepless night for me tonight. I can tell you that. Not having brakes in an ambulance. We got to fix that and do what we have to do to make it work tonight, but we got to get somebody out here to fix this. So I implore you guys to figure out what we can do to make this a short-term and a long-term fix.
Go ahead, Jay.
Ralph, is the $160,000 for this demo ambulance, is that an all-in cost? As in, that comes fully equipped, ready to go? Or is that sort of lots of add-ons to come?
It was 180, but that was it. And it wasn't exactly 180. It could have been just under or just over. It was right in that neighborhood. I don't have the quote in front of me.
Okay, but that includes the ambulance basically being all ready to go on runs.
Turnkey, yes. Right down to the lettering.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Anything else?
I mean, is it possible, can we make motions now, or do you have to have it on the agenda?
We have a motion on the floor first.
Yeah, I'm just curious about something that's not on the agenda.
Why don't we finish up with the motion on the floor, which is related to the part-time positions possibly being funded by the Keep Maine Healthy grant. Why don't we finish up that, Bo, and then okay. We could come back to something under other business if we thought that was appropriate. Does that sound reasonable?
That's fine.
Okay. Any more comment from anybody out in the audience that you can identify for us, David, about the motion on the floor to advertise for the up to 5 part-time positions, I believe, for the Keep Maine Healthy grant?
Well, Donna has her hand up, as well as Mary Holt.
Go ahead and bring whoever you can in, please.
So I'll bring in Mary Holt, and then we can hear from Donna.
Well,
having gone or having been present at all the CART meetings and knowing the great concern that the many people who attend the CART meetings have regarding stopping the spread, having some positive interaction with those in the public who don't automatically follow the guidelines, such as social distancing or wearing masks when you can't social distance. You know, it seemed extremely important to each person on the CART to bring this request to the Board of Selectmen to ask to be able to post pending funding. But it's more than disappointing to hear lack of support for this. This was turned around so quickly because we all believe there is this great need. We're very fortunate that our community at this time has not been stricken more by this virus. I think a lot of it is the diligence, the culture that has been encouraged by Marjorie's letters and CART, the signage, the communication, so much has gone into it. These jobs are to help make life a little more normal here during the summer for the kids to be able to use the playground, for people to get out into the field. For the playground to be used, it needs to be sanitized. Children need to be encouraged to keep their distance, etc. That's not going to happen unless there is someone there supervising. That's just, you know, one example. I won't go on, but I certainly hope the Board of Selectmen will consider at least allowing the advertising of the positions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Donna has her hand up.
Okay.
Why isn't she allowed to talk? Did she have to log on? Oh.
You put me on.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why you were muted, but anyway.
You got the wrong Donna.
It says Donna Damon.
Oh, that's me. Can you hear me, David Hill?
Yes, I can.
Listen, it's Monta Adams, and I apologize that my account keeps coming up as Donna Damon. So if you could switch my name, and I would like to speak after Donna.
Well, actually, you're the Donna, so go ahead and speak, and I'll rename you right now.
Well, thank you very much. And Donna, I do apologize. I keep trying to fix that. Listen, I've been involved with CART, and I really want to start off with making a point made by Ralph. They work so hard, and I think when everyone works hard and does a good job, it's easy to overlook and say there's no problem. Everything is going smoothly with rescue or with handling things on the island. So I really wanted to say that, Ralph, you made that point quite well. And Ralph, I do apologize that you weren't consulted more. Can I say, I think on one hand that grant that was written wouldn't have covered an expense like the decontamination room, but when we keep working, we can be looking for those grant opportunities because they're coming down the pike in our state, and that puts it right on the radar. The other thing, it would be helpful to have someone from Rescue on our CART. Look, the grant was CART-centric because it was with input with the sometimes 24 members or people attending that meeting saying, what do you think we need in our community? It really ended up being a product of what people spoke up for. But I'm not hearing much talk about the fact that there are going to be some expenses in this town related to COVID that will be covered by that grant that are not in town budgets. For example, plexiglass shields, hand washing and sanitation stations at a variety of locations, including our school. There are a lot of cleaning supplies that are needed, and we've looked at not just cleaning supplies for the town, but for CTC, for the, again, for the rec center, for the kids' place, all of these at the Island Hall. So these are places where we're going to have those additional expenses. And this grant would cover those expenses. Just looking at what can be spent on signage right now, it will cover that expense as well. I can understand that it might seem a bit unnecessary to have some of these positions paid for by a grant. And I understand where you're coming from, but I hope that I do feel confident actually that if you were to support this grant, we're going to give a lot of value added. We're looking at how much extra time it's taken for the town administrator, for employees of the town to handle this. It really helps to take a load off of some people that have been working very hard and putting in extra time. So yes, when we start saying that opening the playground or having somebody be present in these locations might seem a little bit frivolous, I can assure you that I think this is well thought out and really could deliver a lot of goodwill to our community around the changes. The biggest conflicts that are happening on the island really have to do with people with different ways of dealing with the Keep Maine Healthy guidelines of wearing a mask and distances. So if we can do more to encourage people to do the right thing and kind of come from the same places, that would be going a long way for our community. So I just want to say these are unusual and historic times, but I think that we can make a big difference that will really benefit our island and bring a lot of goodwill, take some of the load off of Marjorie and the town staff who are running the town, in addition to all of these extra expenses. I think if we're looking at accepting this grant, we could also use some of that employee time to be looking at further opportunities that could benefit our island. So I encourage you to have some faith in the amount of time and effort being put into this, and I think we're really ready to roll in a way that you don't know about, because we've been hoping that this would pass. We're ready to advertise those positions. We're ready to be interviewing as soon as possible. We're ready to be training people as soon as possible. So I think that we're not looking at something that is going to happen in August. We're looking at something that we'd like to have implemented, if at all possible, by next week. So you have my word on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eliza. Anyone else out in the audience before I come back to the board, David?
Steve Afont.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay, you should be there, Steve.
Hi there, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, just a clarification on my roles as far as providing information to Donna. It was under the gun, I believe it was a Friday. Donna contacted me and requested information. The general information that Donna needed for this grant was supplies that were already purchased under the same time frames, and then additional supplies that we would need for both the fire department and the rec center. So, but it was definitely a conversation on supplies. And so I created some numbers for both the rec center purchases that we did for COVID supplies, and then some ballpark numbers for the fire department. But it was definitely supply related PPE equipment. And again, that was done very quickly on a Friday, because the grant was due the following week. I just wanted to make sure that it was clear on my role for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Steve.
And we have Erica Newman.
Okay.
Sorry. And I will, what happened? Here we go. Go ahead, Erica.
Hi. Great. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. I have been volunteering with CART since March. And I just want to make a couple things. I really hear what Ralph's saying about the prioritizing and making prioritizing as the virus has changed and the information about it and the way society has adapted to it and subsequently how Shabig has. I think from my understanding of the Keep Maine Healthy grant and how, as it came through the federal government and then through Maine, one of the main gists of it was to keep it focused and flexible, that on April 30th, when Governor Mills made the announcement about protection and made the executive order, for example, for mask wearing, at that time, it was considered a Class E offense to a $1,000 fine. And as we all know, we had to interpret the all of the safety precautions along the way and how we were going to live with it and enforce it. And this grant, months later, was really a response, from my understanding, to the pressure that it was putting on the frontline, the police, community members to enforce protection. As we all know, we saw what happened on the national dialogue there, and that what they were saying was that they didn't want to police mask wearing and safety protection. They wanted to focus on public education, that the more we educated people about what the science was, what you had to do, and why you had to do it, you would shift the culture so that people would comply. And Maine did an excellent job. And this grant, I'm more aware of it too, because I'm also volunteering on the Yarmouth Community Task Force, and they also went for one and got it. And with regards to Ralph's point about what the frontline needs, they all of the I think the 95 towns who got it had about a 5-day turnaround, came very, very quickly. And my understanding is there's flexibility, even though Marjorie's explained that it has federal, you know, laws and regulations because it's an reimbursement style grant. But the idea, the spirit of it is to be flexible for supplies and whatever it needs to change your town and enforce what you are doing well. Because it came in June, people had already been working through this in March, April, and May, and the biggest issue was educating people so that they would continue to move through the fatigue that everyone's feeling, to continue to wear masks when the sun came out, to continue to think through how can we not go, you know, have mental illness because we've all been cooped up, and look at the way that we can go into the beaches and open up and have economic recovery from the pain of this. So, all that said, that's the spirit I understand of it. This is more public education. Testing was not even allowed to be included in this grant. The decontamination room that Ralph talks about, I have a hunch that there will be funding for things like that coming soon. I know that there are waves of grants coming out, and they're coming out quicker than they have. Of course, every federal grant has its own bureaucracy, but I think that the spirit behind this is public education and outreach. And the last thing I'll say is that a lot of people have been talking about after this is all done, the way we treat each other is maybe the lasting damage. And so the other part of this was having ambassadors and education and signs to keep people fighting the good fight, wearing the masks that everyone can't stand, and just keeping the public information campaign. And I would liken it to wearing seatbelts that the United States changed. It took about 10 years to actually get into our culture, the public information and PSAs about wearing seatbelts. And this has to happen on a much shorter timeline. Yarmouth is also, with regards to everything that we're doing, there are people in the Yarmouth Task Force that are working at the state level, and they're looking at moving very, very quickly, especially with procurement, so that we get the best deals possible. So I was made aware 2 days ago that they, Lewiston, for example, was putting in a PPE mask order, and they had a significant discount if they ordered a bulk rate. And Yarmouth reached out to me. So there's a lot of collaboration at the town level too to move quickly for the supplies. And I think that there's flexibility in the grant also for things like that, maybe not the decontamination room, but things that come up. You know, Bo's new to the selectmen and the other selectmen. If there are other parts that that we didn't reach, as Mary said, because if people weren't member of the CART team, some of those lines weren't coming in. So I think the needs assessment is part of this call in the next couple of days. And then if you hopefully move forward with the grant, you'll be able to have both, to be reimbursed for the supplies you've had, reimbursed Gennaro as percentage of the employees who've already been putting time into this, and then for whatever those positions are, be able to be on the ground so that we can prepare for what a lot of the science and the leaders in this, following this, the CDC are saying could be a very, very hard winter. So the other part of this is investing so that you're ready for the winter and flu season. Thanks.
Thank you, Erica. I'd like to take one or two more comments if I could, and then get back to possibly considering a motion.
I have Lila and Chip Emery on deck.
Okay.
So I'll allow Lila to talk.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you, Mike.
You should be, Lila, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Good. Thank you very much, David and Mark. Remember, we are in an emergency situation. This is COVID-19 emergency.
Wait a minute. I think I just messed you up. I'm sorry.
She disappeared from the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's back.
Okay, Bo, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, he's my weather vane there. Thank you. We are in an emergency, and I take my hat off Ralph, Chief Monroe, in all our minds, fire and rescue is number one, always, when we talk about frontline. If you need a decontamination chamber, that should rise, and I know you do. That needs to rise to the top of what we have to get and get it fast. And there are ways to do that. This grant process has shown that we have a great team in this town that is ready to move quickly and get grant money. Let me emphasize that the grant to Shebig, if you weight it by population, may be in fact the largest in the state of Maine. We are a tiny community and we are ranked at the same level as large towns. We've got our act together. So anything that needs to be done, we need to go forward and we can do it with the capacities we've got here. I call on all of you to wholeheartedly just support this and let's roll up our sleeves and get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you, Lila.
Mark, Jackie Trask had her end up quite a while ago, and I would suggest we let Jackie and Chip finish off this discussion.
Okay, what about Chip?
Chip should be able to speak now.
Okay, I'll keep it short. I just want to support what Eliza and Eric and Lila have said so well. Sometimes in these complex decisions, rather than figuring out the positives, I look at why not. What are the negatives? There have been some negatives stated. Haven't really heard any really strong negatives why not to do this. So again, support what they've said. Well said. That's it.
Thank you, Chip. Do we have Jackie?
And Jackie should be able to say hello now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
The Press Herald did an extensive about the Keep
Maine. Yes. Oh, that's so sad.
Okay, somebody's got a open mic on that's disturbing us.
I was saying that the Press Herald did a very informative article last week about the Keep Maine Healthy grants and so forth. And I was struck by the emphasis on the idea that the ambassadors would keep it positive in their interactions with, in our case, island people. You know, not punitive, not shaming if someone didn't have a mask. And I mean, I have no idea how many, by what percentage our population has increased this summer, but certainly I know that a lot of folks who come in the summer bring different attitudes, values, et cetera. I encountered some of that near the West End School this morning, bikers who were two children and a dad who were all over the road. So, you know, I certainly support the advertising these positions because education can go a long way. That's it.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
I'm going to bring this back to the board unless you see somebody out there shaking their hand, David.
Nope, I think we're good.
Okay. Any further questions from the board? And then I will, after this question, I'll ask Christine to reread the motion for us, please. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. One is, in this grant, in the personnel section, that includes the 15% of Marjorie and Gennaro's salaries from June 8th until October 30th, because we tried to estimate how much time they were probably spending on this. And if you figure out it's, you know, a couple of hours a day, or it could be 3 hours one day and 1 hour another day. Gennaro has been a presence, as Bo mentioned, down at the wharf. So that's offsetting their salaries. It's contributing to reimbursing, and this is what the reason for this grant is to help towns stay more stable. And as Jackie mentioned about the article in the Press Herald, when we created this, and you know, people talk about the 20 people on card or 25 people, whatever. A lot of those are just citizens who happen to call in that day and participate. They're not actually on the committee, but everybody has a place at the table. So we're hearing from a lot of people. Some are summer people, some, but anyway, we had no idea when we created this and called these people COVID ambassadors that other towns were doing exactly the same thing. We were not in collaboration with Kennebunk and other places that were creating the same kinds of positions. But we identified a need, that we needed somebody out there who could be working with the kids or whatever to try to keep people safe. And so anyway, that's where that came from. But I wanted to make sure everybody understood about the 15% of the salaries.
Thank you, Donna. Go ahead, Bo.
I understand the need for the money for the PPE and possibly the signage that was bought to put up and the time invested into it up to now. The only thing that I have is paying somebody to go around and tell people to put a mask on. If my kids are going to the playground, I inform them to keep a mask on, and they should be, you know, distance away from people. As far as the little stuff like supplying PPE here and there and whatever the rescue needs to obviously deal with the COVID, that's where that money should go. Help the island stores and all that to do that. But as far as hiring somebody to do that, where you can send an email to somebody and they compile a list of supplies they need and you go on Amazon and a couple clicks later it's done. You know, I'm not trying to minimize it. I just don't agree with hiring somebody to greet you when you come off the boat, tell you to wear a mask, where a sign would do the same thing. Thank you.
Anything else, Bo?
No.
Thank you. Marjorie, go ahead.
Well, in all fairness, I think you do have to go back to the purpose of this grant. The purpose of this grant was basically public education, publication activities, and about public health support and physical distancing and assistance to local businesses. So I don't think that some of the things we've been discussing would have even fit into this application. So I don't know if Donna wants to weigh in on that, but I mean, there was a specific purpose to this grant.
Yes, and I think I said at the very beginning, this came about because of the pressure on the governor to open up Maine and to open up businesses. And the idea was, as I think Eliza Jane and Lila and Chip and Mary, a bunch of people said, it was about education. It's not being the Gestapo and going after people because they don't have a mask on. And going back to the playground, right now the playground is not open. Volunteer field is not open. There are signs up there. In order to get it open, it has to be safe for people. And so it's not somebody up there yelling at the kids because they don't have a mask on. It's somebody wiping down the slide after somebody, you know, different people are using it. Maybe somebody up there playing with them, you know, and giving them a push on the swing, or, you know, it's just, when you talk about somebody being an ambassador, I spent 5 years in the Portland playgrounds. And if I were young, I would love to have that job, going up there and being able to open that playground up and having the kids on Chibig have a place to go, because right now they don't. And it, like I said, it's not supposed to be the Gestapo.
Any further comment from the board before I ask for a reread of the motion and a roll call vote, please? Thank you. Christine, if you wouldn't mind rereading that for us.
A motion by Donna Damon that we move to allow the town administrator to advertise for the five positions, which I will lay out. One is a COVID coordinator. I think there's three COVID ambassadors and one COVID communicator. In keeping with the Keep Maine Healthy grant, pending funding. Seconded by David Hill.
Thank you, Chris. Everyone's clear on the meeting, ready for a roll call vote. Mr. Beaupre?
I just want to be clear, I don't have any issues with the grant money. I have an issue with hiring people to be ambassadors and stuff. So it's a no.
Thank you. Mr. Corson?
You're on silent.
You can mute it, please, Jay.
Same sentiments, no.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes. Of course.
Thank you. Passes 3-2. Good discussion. Thank you, everyone. Next item number 21-066, new town administrator. Marjorie and I chatted today in the town office, and obviously we need to get the process going in the direction that the board thinks is the appropriate direction for getting ready to interview for a new town administrator. I think last time we met, there was a draft description of an ad that could be considered for going out. And I think that we discussed that. And Marjorie, can you remind me where you and I and Christine Affant decided that ended up?
There was a motion and a vote. I don't have any advertisement from anybody. I don't have any instructions to post anything that I can recall. I mean, we did look back in the minutes, and there was a vote, but I don't have any advertisement.
Okay, go ahead, Donna.
Yes, we did. We voted on the wording for the ad. What we didn't vote on was the process of when we were going to advertise. I had reported that I had spoken with MMA. So what I would like to do is propose a process so that we can get this going. The ad itself was approved by the majority of the board at the time.
Do you want me to read the motion back?
Pardon me?
Do you want me to read the motion from that meeting regarding that?
No, I think that...
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Thank you.
It was in the minutes that were sent out. There was a motion by Mark Dyer to use the initial job description as read by Selectman Damon as the basis for advertising locally in the papers, on the MMA website, and regionally. And that was seconded by Donna Damon. And the vote was 3-2.
Thank you, Christine.
So I guess the next thing that we need to talk about is the only thing that's missing from the ad is how do people respond and how much time do we give them? And so the question is, do we say 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever? And the other question is, I guess my suggestion is that we set up an email, a special email account, so that if people want to email in their applications, and also have a mail address, and I would be willing to make copies of all of the packets that we get from applicants. And then my suggestion after that is that we have an executive session on Zoom, where we, everyone will have had plenty of time to look at all of the applications. We go over each one and decide, do we want to invite 4 or 5 people to a Zoom interview this was a suggestion of MMA and Greg Hanscom, who's our advisor. And that we pick 4 or 5 people, we have a Zoom one at a time with them, ask questions and go through a regular process. And from that, come up with maybe the top 2 candidates, and then invite them to come to the island. Does that sound like a process that we could all agree on?
Go ahead, Jay.
The process, I think, is fine. I want to go back. What we talked about was the job description. We didn't have an actual ad, but you keep going back to call it an ad. So I'm not quite sure what actually we're going to be advertising for. And, I guess I'll leave it there.
Okay, I read the, what we voted on last time was an ad that actually I had developed with Greg Hanscom. I will read it again. And that's what we voted on. This is what it said, and also from the Cynthia Branscombe from MMA. The town of Chabig Island, consisting of several unbridged islands in Casco Bay, Maine, with a year-round population of 350 and a summer population of about 1,800, is accepting applications for a full-time town administrator to work with a 5-member board of selectmen in a town meeting form of government. Duties include, but are not limited to, town treasurer, finance director, road commissioner, public relations, human resource manager, town planner, grant coordinator, EMS, and town employee supervisor. The successful candidate will have a knowledge of municipal accounting and finance management, personnel administration, state and federal decision making, and will have a working knowledge of computers and municipal software. Experience as a town manager or a town administrator is preferred. Interested candidates should email a letter of interest and resume too. And so that's what was voted on at the last meeting. Does anybody think we should add something or take something away?
I'll speak up. I remember you reading that to us and us talking about that. I don't have any suggestions of additions or omissions, but someone else may. Does anyone have any questions or comments about what Donna just read? Yeah, go ahead, Bo.
I think the road commissioner needs to be taken off that.
Thank you. Anybody else have a question or comment from the board? We don't have a motion, by the way, right?
No.
There's no motion on the floor.
Can I just clarify something with Bo?
Yeah.
So any of these jobs, this is it says may include, but not limited to. So it's just a list because we may get somebody who has a great experience in roads, but doesn't know anything about finance. And we might have to hire a finance person, or we might get somebody who's great in finance, but doesn't know about roads. So it's left it open. They don't have to be able to do everything, but somebody's got to do it. We don't know who.
All right, that's fine.
That makes sense?
Yes.
I'm going to allow this discussion to continue. At some point, I'm going to suggest that it may be time for a motion, but go ahead, David.
Well, that's my idea, too. I'd like to move that we move the application process along as described by Donna using the job description as drafted.
Thank you. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Donna. Discussion on the motion, please. Go ahead, Jay.
Where all are you going to do this with MMA and where else?
MMA and the three major newspapers in Maine, as well as New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts. They're comparable for MMA. That's what we've done in the past. That was a suggestion of Maine Municipal Association. Okay. If we were hiring them to handle this project, this is what they would do.
Okay. Do we have any idea where this person's going to live?
Marjorie's the only town administrator we've ever had who lived on Chabig. Thank you, Marjorie. We've loved having you here. So everyone else that we've had has commuted.
Yeah. I don't think we would have any idea where this individual, if hired, would live at this point, Jay, in my opinion. It's not a terrible question.
Unless, of course, we hired from within.
Right.
And everyone's welcome to apply.
Hey, did you have anything else, Jay?
Nope, no, that's it.
Thank you. Anybody else from the board or the town? Thank you. Marjorie, you didn't have a comment on this, I assume, before I put it out to the public.
I'm sorry. Somebody came in and I was distracted.
That's okay. Did you have a comment or a question about the motion on the table to put the suggested position / job description out for advertisement?
No, I mean, as I said before, when I was looking, I only looked at the Maine Municipal site. That was really the only place that I went. So I just to put that out there.
Thank you. David, would you mind looking to see if anyone in our audience would like to make a question or comment on this motion, please?
I don't see any hands at the moment.
Okay.
There's a hand. Mary Holt would like to chime in here.
I think it makes sense to advertise in a larger area in case we find that there aren't enough candidates who are interested in coming to Chabig right here in Maine. It certainly wouldn't hurt to be inviting people from a larger pool to apply for the job.
Thank you, Mary. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marjorie.
I guess I do have a question. Who's going to put all this out there? Who is going to send these ads to all these locations?
I said I would be willing to do that in working with the town office. one of my other questions is going to be, where do we get the money to pay for this? What line item does it come from if, in fact, we pass this process to go forward?
It's a admin advertising.
Okay.
Thank you, Marjorie. Anything else from anybody out in the audience that you can identify, David?
Nope.
One more thing I'd like to say. This is the fifth time, I think the fifth town administrator search that I've been involved in. And in all of them, we have had people who are working someplace else but came from Maine and wanted to come back to Maine. We didn't happen to hire any of them, but there are people who have left Maine and want to come back. And so that is, it's been interesting.
Thank you, Donna. No one else from the public, David?
I see no hands.
Okay. Anything else from the board before we take a roll call vote on this? Okay. Everybody understands the motion. Do you need to have Christine read it, or are we all set?
Set.
Okay. Mr. Beaupre?
Considering I haven't been in most of these discussions, like, I'd like to abstain myself.
Thank you. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes 4-1 abstention. Thank you all. Let's see. Next item is communications. Marjorie, would you like to start with some communications for us, please?
So, let's see. We did receive, I received an email from Chip Corson, a resignation from the planning board. I did take the liberty of starting to advertise for that position. And we have gotten two people that are interested in the planning board decision or position. Do you want to put that on a future agenda to review?
That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, and also I think that if we have two people, then we need to ask them to write, you know, maybe, I don't know if they wrote the letter of interest when they did it, but we probably should have an executive session to discuss that if we've got more than one person interested.
Okay.
How many openings do we have on the planning board?
Yeah, that's kind of my question. Might we take both of them?
Chris?
Go ahead.
One. She's saying one.
Oh, how many positions are there open?
One position.
Oh, yeah.
One spot, two applicants.
I thought you said how many people are on the planning board. I'm sorry.
More than one.
Hopefully.
And then, as you may recall, the county had proposed to go to a six-month budget, and they were going to ask us for more money in order to do that transition. And they've decided to withdraw that proposal, and just because of the times, so we won't be dealing with that. That was going to be in the 21-22 budget, but anyway, that's off the table for the county budget. What was this one? And then the letter from Herb Maine, did you want to take that up? He wanted to just write a letter to the board and list some of the things that he felt still needed to be addressed as agenda items and other items. This was a letter to the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, and I think it's a very good list from Herb, and I think we need to keep most or all of that on our radar. So whether we discuss that tonight or whether you just bring it back for us to consider on a future meeting is, I can go either way.
I guess I would like people to be thinking about, you know, not talking about it tonight, and we definitely need to thank Herb for doing that. That was wonderful. But in the past, not the recent past, but in the far past, annually we had a retreat as a Board of Selectmen where we spent, you know, a day, we had lunch. Now that we are on COVID alert here, it's a different story, but we could certainly take a time, maybe a Saturday morning or something when people are fresh, and just maybe go down through his list and that we all add projects to it and try to come up with, what are our goals for the next year and because he didn't really prioritize them. I think he said that he hadn't really prioritized.
Well, we had done that somewhat in the capital plan, and we can either use the format of the capital plan or do something else. That's up to you.
But I mean, we can have that discussion at some point, not tonight.
So what I was suggesting was that we keep that list rolling and keep it on our next meeting so that we don't start dropping any of it and decide how and when and in what part of our town process we deal with each one of those.
And then there was the correspondence from Claire Ross. That came, I think that came to me, but I was asked to forward it. I guess it went to Herb, and he forwarded it also to the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that I recognize what Claire and some other people are saying, and I've had some separate discussions with people about their disappointment, I guess would be a good way to say it, and how we included the $10,000 for the broadband, I forget the wording of it.
Reserve
fund. The fact that we put it in with the capital improvement list and did not have it separate is mostly the comment that I took, especially after the town turned down the bigger project.
Yeah, can I address it? Sure. Yeah, I would like to address it too, because I think it shows that we need better communication on the part of the Board of Selectmen as well as on the part of the public. And that broadband line was already in there, it just had no money. And so while we were talking about it, it came up, and it basically the decision was to put it in as a placeholder. An afterthought was one of the selectmen suggested a couple of meetings later that maybe we should be more specific and say it was for a town-owned project. And that's probably where the problem really arose, because that was what people had voted down. Part of the problem, and I'm not making an excuse, but we had very little participation in our budget hearings. And so it's really hard to work in a vacuum. And so I would just encourage next year to have people really, you know, hold their feet to the fire and, you know, sign and come to those meetings or whatever. But in retrospect, I think that we should have create a policy that whenever something new is added, and even though it said broadband and we had a space there, that should be separate, and it should be an explanation. And, and that was a case where it just wasn't on anybody's radar. And I personally would like to apologize. I've talked to Claire, I've talked to about, it seems like 100 people in this community about this. I certainly understand where people were coming from, and they felt they were being duped, and that we were trying to pull a fast one. And that was not really the intent, but I can certainly understand it, and I think that we have to do a better job.
I'll recognize Bo and then David, please.
Just because I don't have the paperwork in front of me, how much was put in the capital planning for the stone pier?
zero this year.
I can explain, I can answer Bo's question. Herb had a plan, and his plan was that we were going to get an engineering company to come and give us an estimate of what it would cost to do some kind of a plan. And because COVID came, and that went right out the window. We just did, and that's what happened. It wasn't because anybody was trying to ignore something, but that's what happened. And then we talked about maybe the first thing we could do is fixing the road, but there wasn't enough hours in the day to get the engineers and hire people and get proposals out and all those things. The town office staff was, stressed. And so that was what happened. Right. You can talk to Herb. He would, I think, agree with that.
Go ahead, Bob.
I understand that, but it'll still come back to, I like internet. I use it on everything. But the thing is, we'll have awesome internet on the island, like I've said before, and no way to get to the island.
I think there's 300,000, isn't there? How much is in that fund right now? There's quite a bit in that fund.
303,000.
Yeah, there's over 300,000 in that fund right now.
I understand that, but we'll need more than that.
No, that's right. But the first step is to get an engineering study. And
I understand that, but we need to fix the stone pier, and we have no plan for the broadband. That's what I'm getting to. We need to do something at the stone pier. It's our only way onto the island, besides Casco Bay Lines, obviously. We already have broadband. I'm not saying it's a good broadband. I'm just saying.
We have DSL.
Correct. Right.
We also do have a stone wharf that's, pretty usable. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that in normal times, if there are such things, the broadband issue would have been brought up as a part of the capital improvement plan. And at town meeting, we could have broken it out and considered it separately. We could have voted on it separately. We really didn't consider that, unfortunately, as we put together this kind of makeshift warrant this year. And the second thing I'll say is it passed by 75%, and that just happens to be the number that the state of Maine passed the $15 million bond issue. And there's also $60 million that's hopefully coming down from the feds through the COVID-19 funding. The $10,000 is not to do anything other than to leverage some of that state and federal money if it ever becomes available to us. And I don't think, I think a lot of people miss that point.
Yeah, to me, I think the biggest concern that I was hearing was the fact that we grouped up a lot of things, and Marjorie knows why we grouped up. Marjorie and the staff know why we grouped up a lot of things, and we decided to handle it referendum instead of trying to get people together for town meeting. And the fact that we included it into our capital improvements list, to some people, had the appearance of trying to slip something through. That's basically what I was hearing mostly. So I hear what they're saying. I don't believe that the intent was that way. I also hear what Bo and some people are saying about the stone wharf and the roads and the lack of parking over on the mainland side and the other issues that we face and ramps and stuff. But so anyway, I think that was the point that was hit home, is how we handle what we present to our voters, how we structure it. Any other comments on that letter of concern that Marjorie brought up in communication before she moves on? Thank you. Go ahead, Marjorie.
I don't have any other communications.
Okay. Does anyone from the board have any communications before I leave this business item? No one? Thank you, Marjorie. Next item is to approve the minutes from July 1, 2020. Could someone make a motion for that for me, please?
So move.
Thank you. Did we get a second?
Second.
I think it's David and Jay, Christine. Discussion on the minutes from July 1 of 2020, please.
I just have one thing. Where do you find the minutes on the website? I looked for the minutes and I found, I even typed it in the search thing and it came up with something last year. Is it something wrong at my end or is it so just...
Once the minutes are approved, they're on our website. If you go down to the Board of Selectmen homepage, mm-hmm. and then they're chronologically listed right there. And they'll be attached tomorrow first thing. Once it's been approved.
All right, I'll look again. Probably in my end.
I'm in the same boat. If you go to boards and committees, then click on selectmen, you'll see all of our names and just scroll down there. Don't look at the side on the right where it says agendas, previous agendas. You just scroll down below our names and then you'll see it.
All right. Either I was looking at the wrong spot, probably.
I had the same problem.
Thank you.
Any other comment or questions on the motion to approve the minutes from July 1, 2020? Roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes four in favor, one abstention.
Oh, Marjorie's got a question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marjorie.
When is our next meeting?
Good question.
That's the July calendar over there. Today, what's today? The 16th?
The 16th today.
Well,
if we do the 29th, would we be back on schedule for the second Wednesday in August?
We would.
So why don't we do the 29th and then we'll be back to the second and last.
Does that sound reasonable to everyone?
Sounds good to me.
What do you think?
Sounds reasonable to me, but I would remind everybody that when the contract comes through for the COVID-19 project, that we are going to do basically a verbal approval when at least three selectmen say okay to the contract, that will then be considered approved.
But for what, David?
For the $65,000 from the state. The
Keep Maine Healthy.
Keep Maine Healthy grant.
To physically accept the grant.
Yes, that was voted on last week. The first.
Thank you, Dave. Does July 29th sound reasonable for people to meet? Any objections?
The only thing I have is that David's comment. Is it possible instead of doing verbal, we do an email?
Well, really, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It would be email, not verbal.
All right.
But without the benefit of a meeting like this.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Are we on to other business? I'm sorry. Yeah. Next item is other business. Does anybody have any other business that they would like to bring up this time?
I do.
Go ahead, Bo.
I'd like to take up Ralph's concern about the ambulance. Mm-hmm. We have 120-something. And I know from previous discussions when I was on the board, we were talking about it, trying to raise it up quickly because there was we set a goal of a certain date or a certain year. And I can't remember that. And
22.
By the sounds of it, we need one sooner than later. I know it's just breaks for right now, but the problem that arose back then when this discussion started was what do we do if we have one that is out of commission? At this time, that our crew's already all strapped and worried about what they're going to do in case of an emergency. You know, if we have, God forbid, we have somebody they have to transport with COVID and they have to disinfect the whole ambulance, God forbid they get a call in the middle of that, they can't, you know, assign one to COVID. You know what I mean? I can't talk for Ralph how long it takes to disinfect an ambulance. I would like to make a motion that we look into getting a new ambulance. And I know you've all worked hard on this year's budget. And I'd like, go ahead, Marjorie.
Well, I think everybody would like to buy a new ambulance, it remains that we can't spend money that we don't have. So we've got $122,582 in the ambulance reserve. Even if we wanted to reallocate some of our other reserve money, you know, there's plenty of money in our capital reserve funds, we'd still have to have a town meeting. Or if we borrowed money, we'd have to have a town meeting. So, I mean, it's the discussion is fine, but you need to keep in mind that any allocation of money, you know, is going to take a town meeting vote.
Can I just go back to Bo for a second? Bo, do you still want to continue with your motion before we go further?
Yes.
No, I'll second the motion.
Go ahead. We have a second. Now we're discussing the motion specifically. Go ahead, David.
Well, my question is, I thought that we had some leeway with the town accounts to about, 10% where we can move money from one account to another without town meeting vote. Am I right, Marjorie?
That's the operating budget.
So, okay, I'm just wondering if there's a way we could move some of the money around to make up the difference that we're needing in order to get to a level, or whether we could negotiate with with whoever's selling us the ambulance to take a down payment, if you will, with further money to come in the next year.
Well, you can't, if you contract with them to buy an ambulance for $180,000, you have to have that money in hand. I mean, or the mechanism. I mean, if you borrow money, you still have to go to town meeting. The point is you can't spend money or you can't spend public money without permission of the legislative body of voters.
Well, what about, within accounts?
That article says that we can overexpend up to 10% of an operating budget as long as the bottom line isn't over. That it doesn't say that we can move things around. You have a contingency, but it's only 16,000.
That's right. I'm gonna, Marjorie, are you done for now? Thank you. I'm gonna take Donna and then Bo.
Well, what I'm thinking that we need to do, we need to think about the big picture. And I think Marjorie's right. I don't know how much we have in fire trucks, but we may have enough in fire trucks. So that something simple like that, we could have a simple town meeting. But first we need to have Ralph come with a written proposal with a quote from the company. And what we should do is put this on an agenda item and ask him, and we could have it in 2 weeks from now. But we need to have a written proposal so we know exactly. Sometimes it's 160, sometimes 180, sometimes it's more than 180. So what are we really talking about? And if the company then gives us that, then we may be able to look at options where we do a down payment and then they, you know, maybe they're willing to let us pay on time. We take money out of fire trucks and then add it another time. But either way, as Marjorie says, we have to have a town meeting. But the first step to me is having Ralph give us a formal proposal from a company that has all the specs, because I think Bill asked some really good questions, or somebody did, or maybe it was Jay, I can't remember, about was it going to come completely ready. So we need to see that in black and white. And I see Ralph's coming on, so he probably could answer, but could we just put this on the agenda for 2 weeks from now and have Ralph come back with that from the company?
Ralph, are you on?
Yes, he is.
Actually, it's me, it's not Ralph. Ralph is at Firehouse with David Stevens trying to fix the brakes on the ambulance, or at least trying to get the ambulance running right now. I will tell him that, but I know he could have a proposal ready in 2 weeks for a meeting if you wanted one, or he could probably even have it before then to present it to you so you have it in hand for a meeting.
Okay, thank you very much, Kim.
You're welcome.
Paul, go ahead.
I do apologize. I thought we were able to shift some stuff around. I forgot about it. It's been a while. town meeting and stuff. But I still do want, I do agree with the proposal. Get a proposal next week, and then we can see about how we can do this to try to expedite it.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to approach it. Like Marjorie and Donna and now Kim has spoken on behalf of Ralph. I think if we can get a proposal for the vehicle that the Chabig Fire Rescue would like to see us consider purchasing for the department, and we have in black and white what it includes, is it fully decked out, is it in our price range, is this what we want to purchase, then we can take a look at it. But we don't have the authority with reserve funds to just take money out of reserve funds without town meeting approval. Go ahead, David.
Well, Chris Loader is waiting to say something, but before that, is lease purchase an option, Marjorie, of any kind without town meeting?
Lease purchase agreement is still a borrowing, and you have to get permission from town meeting. You can't enter into a lease purchase agreement without town meeting.
I was afraid of that. Okay, Chris is now allowed to talk.
Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. In terms of, so the dialogue, I think, is right. You do have to go to town meeting to raise more funds or go into debt. My question from a procedural perspective on this is, if there are funds of $124,000 in the account, as long as the purchase was under, you know, the 24,000 or within that account, does that require town meeting? Or if a $120,000 was available, would you as a board be able to approve that?
The board can approve up to the $122,582. They can use that to buy an ambulance.
Great, thank you.
Anything else, Chris?
That was it. How to have the conversation with Ralph conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I'm forgetting where we are with the motion.
There's a motion to look into buying a new ambulance by Bo and seconded by David Hill.
Okay. How do you specifically interpret that motion, Marjorie?
You'll be that Bo is suggesting that the Board of Selectmen actively look into a purchase.
Okay, so it's likely that you will hopefully get something from Ralph from a company for a vehicle and bring it back to us at a future meeting. For
my last conversation was such that I thought he had one, but he never. I don't have it in hand.
Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
The other part of this is before we forget about it so quickly, is we have to figure out how to pay for it.
Yeah.
And how that can be managed, because 122,000, assuming it's actually 180, leaves us 58 short. So 58 grand isn't covered in a 10% changeover from other accounts or anything else. And the second question I have, or the question I have, Marjorie, is if we want to raise money for something like this, doesn't that have to be done at the annual town meeting?
No.
Because it has to be figured into the tax base and the tax commitment? I'm sorry, I asked Marjorie.
Go ahead, Marjorie.
Okay, so if you had a meeting next week and raised money, we could add that to the commitment. In other words, as long as the assessor has not committed taxes yet, then if money is raised at a town meeting, we can add it to taxation. Once you commit taxes, which is usually the sort of the middle of August, once I do that, then if there's a town meeting and you raise funds, it has to come out of your fund balance or some other source.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go ahead, Donna.
Marjorie, how much is approximately in our fund balance right now?
Off the top of my, well, I've got it right here. Let's see. Sorry, you caught me off guard a little bit.
Well, I don't think anybody
we appropriated $150,000 out of the balance in this budget. I think it was around $700,000 or something. I can't remember.
How much money do we have in fire trucks?
Fire truck, $55,000.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, well, actually, that might do it, that we could take it out this year if we had a special town meeting, and then next year add it back in, because we wouldn't be saving for the fire truck, for the ambulance. You know, we could borrow from that account if the budget worked. But so anyway, I think that would be part of the next discussion once we know the number we're talking about. So I don't know if we need to actually, well, we can vote on Bo's motion, because basically he's saying what we're all saying, that we want to look into this, right? Isn't that, Bo, you don't have a specific plan. You're just saying look into it. And so if we put it on the next agenda with Ralph there and start trying to brainstorm the next stuff, does that work for you?
I do. Yes. I want a quote, and then we can figure out where the money is going to come from. But I don't want to last 6 months. I'd rather see us having a new ambulance sooner than later.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do we have any other discussion from the board? Go ahead, David.
Well, Steve Alfont has his hand up in the audience.
Okay, go right ahead and go to him, please. Thanks.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to say, as an active member and driver of the ambulance, active member of the fire department, part of Ralph's frustration this evening is the ambulance has had a problem tonight with the brakes, and he's obviously actively trying to fix that tonight, right now, as we speak. So I would encourage, just like Bo is, I would have to leave the money part of it to you guys, because you're the specialists on that. But I can just would like to say to please consider putting the ambulance on the front burner now, because it's not going to get much better, and we really need to move it ahead now.
That's basically what I wanted to say, encouraging you to continue to work towards getting a quote and looking at the option to purchase a new ambulance.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Jay.
Just a matter of curiosity, aside from a new set of brakes front and rear, what's the rest of the shape of the ambulance?
I believe it also needs routers.
Yeah, the ambulance on the inside, as far as from the EMS side, is very old. So obviously the technology, I cannot tell you how old the ambulance is, but more than likely the ambulance should have been replaced several years ago. So we've gotten our money's worth on that ambulance. So the technology has definitely changed on the EMS side, on the inside of the ambulance.
Okay. But my question is, mechanically, besides front and rear brakes,
yep,
and Margie said routers, what else needs to be fixed?
Well, we just had the ambulance. I'll give you the example. So the brake line, the rear brake line is broken right now. We just got new brakes on the ambulance. I mean, we're talking not too long ago. So all the vehicles were inspected and passed inspection. But again, mechanically, I don't know, Jay. I can't answer that question. You'd have to talk to the mechanic on that.
Well, that's fine. I'm just, if you knew, that's terrific. If not, that's fine too. I'm just asking if that information is readily available.
Yeah, nope. But other than that, it's old. You know, it's an old ambulance. So
it's a 2003.
Thank you, Marjorie. Thank you, Steve. Any other comment from anybody out in the audience that you can recognize for us, David?
Yep. Nobody. No hands up.
Anything else from the board before we vote on the motion to look into possibly purchasing a new ambulance? Okay. Roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Unanimous. Thank you. Any other business from anyone at this point in time? Okay, given that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. I assume no discussion on that. Roll call vote, please. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer is a yes. Mr. Hill?
Yes, and thank you to the 8 people who are still listening in.
And thank you all, folks, for participating tonight. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you for voting for me again. Have a good evening.
Good night,
everybody.
Bye. Yeah.